has the day of the effective gospel meeting passed? I see that question asked often in some of the writings that we read. And I hear that question discussed sometimes in conversations between people. Has the day of the effective gospel meeting passed? This morning, for a few minutes, I want to reason with you more than perhaps preach what might be called a sermon. I'd like to do three things. Share with you a little bit in the events of the last few days. Present some challenges to us in the congregation relative to what will begin next Sunday. And then answer the question that we've just asked. Judy and I were gone from Friday of week before last through Thursday night of this past week. During that time, I was involved in two gospel meetings. I preached for a small congregation of about 50 people on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. For another congregation in the area of about 230 people on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Monday through Thursday nights. I'm convinced more than ever that the day of the gospel meeting has not passed as far as its effectiveness is concerned. On Friday night, with the small congregation and attendance of 46, I challenged them to work with me to have over 100 people on Sunday night in their building, which would seat about 100. And on Sunday night, we had 109 people with two children sitting on the floor. I believe that that short meeting was a great encouragement to that small congregation. Two adults were restored during those 3 days. Last Sunday morning, we began a gospel meeting with a congregation about 5 miles from where my dad and mother live, where I was born and reared. During this last week, there were 5 gospel meetings in progress in a 10-mile radius. And all 5 of the gospel preachers who were involved in those meetings were men who were well known in that county, some from that area, at least 2 of us having grown up there. The attendance in the meeting where I was good, and seemingly throughout the other areas, the other congregations, the same thing was true. We had at least 20 different congregations represented in the meeting where I preached. We had at least 8 preachers on one night and several other preachers at other times. We had people there that were from every walk of life. In that meeting, 3 were restored and 1 was baptized. I'm convinced personally that the day of the effective gospel meeting has not passed. Next Sunday, we will begin ours with Brother Hires, a man who is known for his ability, for his soundness in the gospel. One who's coming, and I'm glad he's coming, to be involved with us and to speak on the theme of the journey from earth to heaven. I appreciate the theme that he has selected. I believe that you and I in this congregation can prove next week that the day of the effective gospel meeting has not passed. You may remember in our last meeting, we used 3 words that started with the letter P to help us in getting ready for that meeting. Pray, promote, and participate. Now I want to underscore those again. We need to be praying, as we already have today, for Brother Hires. We need to be praying for us. We need to be praying for those whom we desire to bring to the services of the meeting. We need to promote the gospel meeting, especially during this next week, the next 6 days, 7 including today, are, in my opinion, the most important days in the successful promotion of this particular effort. We are suggesting 2 things especially that you do, one of these particularly in these next 6 or 7 days, and one during the meeting. This year we have prepared cards like this that are about the size of a postal card, with the details of the meeting on one side and prepared on the other side so that you can write a little message. It says at the top, "We love your soul. giving our address and everything here, and a place for you to write a little personal message. And then on the other side to address it, put a stamp on it, and mail it. We are convinced that the best advertisement that we can have is personal contact. We hope that you will tell people as you see them, that you will call people, and that you will use this card to send a personal message to anybody, particularly in this area, but anyone who might have an opportunity to come. These cards are at the front and on the table in the foyer. They'll be at the office if you need to come by and get those. And we are asking each person to make a list of those whom you would like to invite to the meeting. And if you cannot contact them any other way, to pick up a card and mail it. And now don't just let this suggestion go by and don't forget it. This is a very important part of our preparation for our gospel meeting. The second thing that we're asking you to be involved in personally is during the time that the meeting is in progress, during the week that it is in progress. You are already aware from announcements in the bulletin and otherwise that next Sunday we will be meeting together for a congregational fellowship meal in Pruitt Banquet Center. We'll say more about that later today. But during the week of the meeting, we will not be having the zone meals as we normally have them. And in lieu of that, we are encouraging every family who can to invite someone into their home to eat a meal and to come to church with them. We encourage you to think of somebody who lives in this community, maybe who doesn't go to church regularly, friend of yours or acquaintance of yours, or maybe someone who is a member of the church and has not been involved recently, or just someone that you can encourage in some way or that you would like to be able to eat with and have a period of fellowship. We believe that most of the families ought to be able to do this at least one night during the meeting. As we were planning this, I thought of a gospel meeting in which I was involved a few years ago where I was driving back and forth from home. And I suggested to the people in that congregation on Sunday morning that I would prefer not to come in time for meals because of the driving. And instead of that, I would encourage each family to invite as many in as they thought could eat what I would eat, if they invited me in one night during the meeting. One family invited 13 people. Now, I'm not for sure that I would agree with that point entirely as far as the balance, but I agreed with what they did. Invite someone in just to come by. If you're in a position where you can't do that for a meal, invite someone to come to church with you, go home with you after church for just a cup of coffee, something to drink, just a few minutes to be together and to encourage one another. We believe that most of us, all of us perhaps, can do something like this, and we encourage you to do that. We believe these two things will really help. Number one, to send a card to anyone that you possibly can, and number two, to invite someone to come with you, if possible, to even have them in your home during the week. And then, of course, it goes without saying that all of us need to be ready to participate. To stop and think about it, there are only two additional services in our gospel meeting from what we would have normally. We meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We're just adding Monday and Tuesday night. And I realize that there are some things beyond your control. God understands when it's something that's reasonable. But unless it's something beyond your control, we urge every one of you to make plans to be at every service during that meeting, as the subject of heaven is going to be emphasized. Now, having said these things and issued these challenges, let's come back to the question and consider it just a bit more. Has the day of the effective gospel meeting passed? It seems to me that to answer that question, we need to answer four more questions. And when we've answered them, then we will have answered this one. And I want us to answer these more or less in a personal way. I'd like to ask each one of you to think about these four questions in a personal way. Number one, do we have the hunger for the preaching of the gospel that we ought to have? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, verse 6. Do we hunger and thirst as Cornelius did when Peter came to his house and he said to Peter, we're all gathered here together to hear all things commanded thee of God? Do we really have a hunger for gospel preaching? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and 11 suggests that we ought to have a love for the truth, and that if we do not, that God will allow us to be deluded, even be condemned. But think about that hunger and that love for the truth. You might say, well, I've been hearing the gospel preached for 50 years. Do you ever tire of it? I was just thinking back about last week. Last Sunday, we had a big dinner on the ground on tables outside the church building, and I ate fried chicken. Monday night, we had a group of people meet for a meal, and I ate fried chicken. Tuesday night, you guessed it. In fact, Tuesday night, I went through first, and I got a big chicken breast. There were just two platters of chicken, and I went back for seconds, and would you believe there was another chicken breast left just for me in that platter? And you know what I ate Wednesday night and Thursday night? Fried chicken. One of the days since we got back, I believe it was Friday maybe, Judy and I were busy, and she hadn't had time to cook very much, and just before lunch, I told her, I said, just go get something for us to eat. And you know what she went and got? Fried chicken. And if any of you have any fried today and have an extra piece, check with me. I'm available. I never tire of fried chicken. I believe I could eat it 3 times a day. In fact, when I was growing up as a boy on the farm, we had fried chicken for breakfast many times. I like fried chicken. I guess I've eaten my share of it. It's untelling how many pounds I've eaten of it. I've been eating it for 40-something years. But I still like fried chicken. That's the attitude we need to have in our hunger for the gospel. I've been hearing the gospel preached all my life. I've heard Brother Hires preach the gospel many times. But I'm looking forward to hearing every message that he brings because I believe it will be a gospel sermon that can be helpful to me next week. And just like on this chicken bit, you know, next week I'm going to need something to eat. I've been eating all my life, but that won't take care of next week because I'll be hungry. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness and after the preaching of the gospel? Number two, do we enjoy Christian fellowship? Can you think of anywhere you'd rather be this morning than with a group of God's people in a service like this? Being able to be together a few minutes before the service and after the service, greeting people, talking with one another, seeing who's here, seeing who maybe is not here, that we might do some good for them. There just isn't anything like Christian fellowship. In Acts 2, in the early history of the church, they continued steadfastly in fellowship, and that may be particularly referring to their putting together of their means, but later on in the chapter, even from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There's just something about eating together and being together and singing together, talking with one another. And I really would be concerned about myself if I didn't enjoy Christian fellowship with others. I believe there just must be something missing. Do you enjoy Christian fellowship? You remember when Paul was at Troas, we often quote Acts 20, verse 7, they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Paul preached. Remember the circumstances of that setting? Paul had come in. He was sort of a visiting evangelist on that occasion, but not only did he preach for a long time and they were together, but after that, seemingly they were together as they talked and maybe ate together and encouraged one another before he had to leave. And you just can read that passage and see Christian fellowship oozing out throughout the whole chapter. They enjoyed being together. So the second question we need to answer is, do we enjoy Christian fellowship? The third question, do we enjoy worshiping God? Are you here this morning because you felt like you had a duty? Well, it is the duty of a Christian to worship God, but I hope you're here this morning because you felt like you had an opportunity. An opportunity to sing. We have such good singing here. You know, a lot of times we sing the same old songs over and over and over. Some of them are my favorites, some are yours. I never tire of those, do you? We pray together in a prayer led like Brother Barton led us a few minutes ago. Just think about all the things for which we prayed. What a wonderful opportunity that is, to surround the Lord's table, to meditate for a few minutes on a portion of His Word, to have an opportunity to lay by in store of our means. Now, is that a duty or an opportunity to you? I think the way you answer that will determine in large measure whether or not the day of the effective gospel meeting has passed for you. Jesus said God wants people to worship him, John 4:23. And then he showed in spirit and in truth, verse 24, not just doing what's right, that's a part of it, but doing it with the right attitude and in the right way, enjoying worship to God. Psalmist said in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. What attitude do you have toward that? Do you ever tire of worshiping God? Do you ever get tired of good singing? All of the other parts? Yesterday, as I was sitting at home and watching some of the ball games, I was thinking about this very point. I got to thinking, you know, as far as I can remember, there's never been a day in my life when I didn't enjoy watching a ball game. And if it were not out of order for a woman to say amen, I would get one amen on that one. One of the things that I enjoy so much is my remote control to my television. I can watch three or four ball games at the same time. I enjoy the World Series. I'm not really tied to either one of the teams this year, especially. But I could enjoy watching either one of those games in its entirety. Judy says sometimes, well, they play just exactly like they did in the other game. Why do you enjoy this one? I'm still a Vol fan. And if Slippery Rock were playing Kalamazoo, I would enjoy watching them. I enjoy sports. I always have. I think I always will. I enjoy trying to play. Now, I never tire of that. Any time this week that there's a football game or a baseball game or any other kind of ball game on television and I'm at home, I'd rather have the television on that than anything that's on. Never get tired of it. Why? Because I love sports. I hope I never tire of worship to God. I hope that I can have even just a little more dedication to worship to God, to where I enjoy coming together and singing and praying and listening to someone teach God's word and observe the Lord's Supper, lay by in store of my means. Do I enjoy worshiping God? That's the question we need to answer. And then the fourth question is, do I love the souls of men, the souls that are lost? Am I concerned about those who are outside of Christ? Can I say with Paul, I am debtor? Romans 1:14, I am ready, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, when we have a gospel meeting like this one that's planned, it's a part of our efforts throughout the entire year to reach out to those who are not Christians and to bring our brothers and sisters who've gone astray back and to strengthen all of us. Am I concerned about their souls? Are you concerned about their souls? You know, it seems to me there are two things that keep us from being as concerned as we ought to be. Number one, we're not convinced that a person is lost outside of Christ. And yet Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me, John 14:6. And folks, we're not concerned that we may be lost if we don't do everything we can to take or to send, at least, and to help in the preaching of the gospel to those that are lost. Some of us may be involved in that public preaching. Some of us may be involved in sending those who publicly preach. Some of us may be involved in going out and bringing those who need to hear those that publicly preach. Whatever it is, do we really love the souls of men as we should? I think when we've answered these four questions, we've answered the first question. I hope we can answer each one of these for yes. Yes, I have an appetite for gospel preaching. Yes, I enjoy Christian fellowship. Yes, it's a pleasure to take advantage of the opportunity to worship. And yes, I love the souls of men. And when we answer those four yes, then the answer to the big question becomes no. Has the day of the effective gospel meeting passed? No. Can be just as effective today as it was in years gone by. If we have the right attitude, do the right things, and try to live right ourselves before God. The challenges are before us. And remember, God has left his treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7. The one thing you and I need to consider today is this. Do I have my life ready to do what I can do to promote the success of our gospel meeting? And that means to you who's not a Christian, you need to really think about becoming one today. You're being baptized into Christ and being added to his work. We just put another one on his team to work for our gospel meeting. And if you haven't been as faithful as you should have been as a Christian, your coming back and asking for forgiveness and strength and being ready to work and go ahead could be a shot in the arm toward the success of our gospel meeting. And so we urge you to think seriously about your relationship to God today. How effective are you in working for God? If you're not as effective as you could be with the help of Christ, come to Him as together we stand and sing.
So far from His presence, come today. Hear His loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come, calling now for thee. Patient, loving, and tenderly still the Father pleads. Hear, oh, hear Him calling, calling now for thee. Oh, return while the Spirit in mercy intercedes. Hear His loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Prodigal, come, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come. Come, there's bread in the house of thy Father and to spare. Hear, oh, hear Him calling, calling now for thee. Lord, the table is spread and the feast is waiting there. Hear His loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come.
Seated, please. Song before the Lord's Supper will be number 519. 519.
Lately, sure.